Okay. So we're going to try in this, in this hour, we'll try to give some kind of hands-on meaning, maybe,
Okay.
to the whole concept of
Okay.
Tanta.
Fine.
I think that we should start with Shar HaYichud VeEmunah in the
Okay.
Sefer HaTanya.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know if this will be a chiddush to you. It could be that, yeah, but it's good to see anyway. Perek Aleph.
Okay.
We'll learn Perek Aleph. Maybe Perek Beis, maybe also. Okay, let's just. V'yadata hayom v'ashevosa elavavecha ki Hashem hu ha'elokim b'ashamayim imal v'al oretz mitachas enod. Yeah, you have it. Yeah, you have the play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So okay, we start off with that this pasuk, which is actually the pasuk that the Ramchal brings as the source for the importance of learning Kabbalah. In the beginning of almost every Kabbalah sefer that he has. V'tzarech lahavin. I need to understand. V'chi ta'ale al da'atcha sheyesh Elokim. What does that say by you?
Nishre nun shin resh hey.
Yeah, nishre b'mayim.
Soaked.
Maybe, I guess. In water, mitachat la'aretz. Shetzarich lahazir kol kach v'ashivoy se'el. Ah, no, not so. Nishra is like Hashra's Hashchina. The Shechina is resting in the water, Mitachas Laretz. Would you think such a thing? That you need to warn so much, Vashivoy Se'el. In other words, the Pasuk is telling you that Hashem is your God in Shemayim Mimal and on the Oretz, V'ala Oretz Mitachas. So, like, where would you think he is? In a ksiv, la'olam Hashem dvarcha nitzav b'shamayim. La'olam, right, forever, Hashem dvarcha, your word, or your speech, is nitzav, lashon of standing, in the heavens. U'pirush Baal Shem Tov Zal, and the Baal Shem Tov explained this pasuk, ki dvarcha she'amarta, means that your word that you spoke, that you said, yehi rakia, betoch hamayim, that the rakia should be, the, what do they call it in English, ferment, that within the water, vegomer, tevois ve'oisius elu, these words and these letters, hein nitzavot ve'omdot le'olam, betoch rakia hashamayim, they are always standing within the rakia of the shamayim, umelubashot, and they are like enclosed betoch kol rekiim, within all the rekiim, la'olam forever, lachiyosam, to give them life. Yeah. What do you mean by the source of the shayrish?
The shayrish, that's where it comes from, right?
Right. That's the essence. It really comes out that's the essence of the shemayim, is these letters that are within there. Like it says, the word of our God, should be mekuyim forever, or rise up forever. And his words will be forever, everlasting, alive and everlasting. Because of these letters, if the letters would remove themselves or become removed even momentarily, chas v'shalom, v'chayz reslim kairon, and they would like go back to their source, hayu kol hashamayim ayin ve'efes mamash. Right? What does it mean going back to their source? Because these osius are really like packets of or of the Ein Sof. They're like really these are iris from the Ein Sof. So if the Isis is going back into the Ein Sof, means that he like takes them out of the Bria and he brings them back to himself, to the Ein Sof. And if he would take out those Isis from then the whole thing would go kaput, there's nothing left. Where do we find this? By the Luchos. Right? It says that when the Luchos were broken, It says that the Oseus flew back. They flew back. In other words, they flew back to Hashem. By him taking out the Oseus, that destroys the Luchas. These Luchas became destroyed.
The whole Madrig of Klal Yisrael went. Was that it? That they couldn't be like other Harishin anymore.
Okay. That's the effect that was part of the outcome. But I'm just focusing right now on this idea that you see that this concept where the Oseus of the Luchas actually are the chios of those luchos, and when the osias go back up to the Rebbein Shalom, he takes out those osias. It's the same thing as taking out the neshama from a guf. The guf dies. The same way the luchos broke. Ki ilu ha-osias, and it's the same thing is here. If ilu ha-osias, I'm reading it again. Mistalkos kerega chas v'shalom, if they would leave even momentarily chas v'shalom, v'chayzer slim kairan, and they would go back to their source, hayu kol ha-shamayim ayin v'efes mamish. There would be, the whole shamayim would be nothing. V'hayu klay hayu klal, or just revert back into nothingness, like as if they never existed. V'kmoy koydim mamir yirikiyam v'chule mamish. Just like it was before the Rebbein Shalom said that mamir of yirikiyah. The same thing is with all the creations in all the worlds, el yonim v'tachtonim, the higher and the lower, v'afilu eretz halazu agashmas, and even this physical land that we live in, the physical world that we live in, u'bechines doimei mamish, and in the bechina of doimeim, right, which is the lifeless, ilu hayu mistalkos mimena kerega chas shalom ha'osias, if chas shalom, the osias, the letters, would become removed even momentarily. Me'asara ma'amaris, right? The letters of those asara ma'amaris shebehen nivra sa'aretz v'sheishis imei bereishis, right? The letters of those ten ma'amaris that are in Parshas Bereishis over there that he created the land within 6 days. Ha'isa chayzeres la'ayin ve'efes mamish, and everything would revert back to nothingness. Kemo lefnei sheishis imei bereishis mamish, the same way it was before the 6 days of creation. And this is what the Arizal writes, Shagam bedoime mamish, that even in the inorganic, kemo avonim, huh?
Like, I see where it's going here.
Yeah, okay. Like the stones, va'afar, and the dust, umayim, and water, yesh bechines nefesh, vechius ruchnis. It has a soul, a spiritual life force. Dainu bechinas hislabshus oisius hadibur ma'asara ma'amaras, and that life force, that nefesh, that chiyus, spiritual life force, is the bechina of the hislabshus of the letters of the dibur of the asara ma'amaras, hamechayus ma'havos is hadoimim liyos v'yesh me'ayim, that give life and give existence to this inorganic material to be yesh me'ayim ve'efes shelifnei sheishis me'bereishis. V'af sheloish huzkur sham evin ba'asara ma'amaras shebatayra. So now he's dealing with a question. Wait a minute. We don't see an evin written in the Parshas Bereishis. So where did that evin get its chiyus from? V'af sheloish huzkur sham evin ba'asara ma'amaras shebatayra. Af al pichein, even so, nimsha chiyus la'evin, the chiyus is drawn to that evin al yidei Tzirufim v'chilufei oisiyos, by permutations and switching of letters, hamizgalgalos b'reish lamed aleph she'arim panim v'achar, that like come through, and the changing and permutations that come through the 231 letters, or the 231 gates of panim v'achar, front and back. You're familiar with the Rala Sha'arim, the 231 Sha'arim. It's all the different permutations of the letters. It's brought down the Sefer Yetzirah. K'moshe Kasev B'Sefer Yetzirah, Ad Shemishtal Shel Ma'asara Ma'amaros, till that they are Mishtal Shel, they like kind of come down through the Asara Ma'amaros, V'Nimshach Mem Tziruf Shem Evan. And through that, like one of the tzirufim that come out of these letters, which can all be found in these Asara Ma'amaris, is also the Aleph Beis Nun. V'uchiyusei shel ha'evin. And that's the chiyus of the evin. Mechein b'chol nivraim sheba'olam. Hashemus shenikroim b'hem b'loshen hakodesh. That's the same thing of all the creations in the world. The names that are called in Lashon HaKodesh, Heinein Oisius Adibur, Hamishtal Shalos Mi Madrega Le Madrega Ma'asara Ma'amara Shabbatayra. They're the letters of speech that were Mishtalsha from one Madrega to the next, from the Asara Ma'amara in the Torah. Al Dechilufim Utmuras Oisius Beralash Arim. Through these different types of letter exchanges and different permutations and combinations of Osius of the 231 Sha'arim, until they come down and they ensconce themselves with inside that a certain Nivra, and a certain piece of creation, to give it life.
I don't want to get sidetracked here,
yeah.
But the Chilufim switching around. What do you switch around to what? You know, Atbash, is that like Atbash?
Yeah.
So
there's also, besides Atbash, there's others. You have the...
Okay.
Yeah.
So could you give me somewhat of a handle of what's the significance of that? Like, it's... Again, it's like a code. It's like meaningless to me.
Okay, let's finish the parak, and then we'll
okay.
That's where I intend to go. I intend to get there. Okay. Until they're well, you know, they're mislabish, they ensconce themselves with inside a creation, lachiyos to give a life. Lefisha ein prate hanevroim yecholim lekabel chiyusam me'asar mamaros atzmon shebatayra, because the details, right, not all the specific details, specific creations, can all get their chiyus directly from the Asar Mamaros in the Torah. Shachiyus anim shech mehen atzman gadol ma'od mibchinas anivroim pratiim, because the Asar Mamaros are a tremendous a source of chiyus. Their light is huge. It's like a klal yisdika or, and the prat can't handle that klal yisdika or. It can't handle that klal. It's too much for it. They don't have the koyach to be mekabel that chiyus ella al yidei sheyored achiyus, except that then the chiyus is going to go down umishtalshel and, you know, go from madrega to madrega, develop from madrega to madrega pchusa mimeno, like you know, getting smaller and smaller,
become more gilui and less ruchni.
Right. But even more than that, it's also. We're talking about a hashtalshlus and madrega madrega, so that the letter, the R, is a less concentrated,
uh-huh.
and a less you know, it's a more mitzumtzen deka R. It's a much more the
gotcha.
Diminished R that now the prati can handle it.
Handle it.
Oh, gotcha. Al yidei chilufim, and this tzimtzum of, you know, hashtalshlus madrega madrega takes place al yidei chilufim, through these changes utmuras ha'osius. And, you know, these different swapping of the letters, vikimatrius and gematrius, shein cheshben oisiyos, which is the, you know, which is the calculation of the letters, the number of the, meaning the, you know, what gematria is here, okay. Ad sheyuchal itztamtzem ulislavish ulislavis ben niver prati. To the point, you know, it goes through these things until it becomes so mitzumtzum that it can now be mislavish and give, and that niver prati can get chiyus from it. V'zeh shma sheyikaru lo b'lashon hakodesh, and this name that they will call it in lashon hakodesh, hu kli, it's a vessel, lechiyus hametzumtzum ba'osius, to that, you know, constricted chiyus that's within the osius, shem zeh, in the osius of this name, shnishtal shel ma'asar ma'amar shel b'torah, which, you know, comes originally, it's mishtal shel from the 10 ma'amaros in the Torah, sheyesh bem koyach v'chiyus livro yesh me'ayin, that they have the koyach of bria yesh me'ayin lachiyosu l'olam d'raisa v'kut shebrichu kul achad, and to be mechay of the world, because the Torah and the Kodesh Baruch was all one. So first of all, what's very beautiful here is it gives somewhat of a meaning, first of all, to the whole concept of gematrius and atbash, and there's, you know, there's the acha, gichak, datlant. These are the things that the five mitzvahs haper, right? There's five different places where letters come out. So, for example, you have the oisius groinius of the throat, which is aleph, ches, ayin, hey. Those are all interchangeable. Just by virtue of the fact that they come out from the same spot in the mouth, then there's a relationship there between them. They're tied.
That's right, chalufim.
It's one of the types of chalufim, yeah. You know, the gichak is from the cheek, it's the chich. So that's because that shows the fact that they're coming out from the same spot, that there's some kind of deep relationship between the gimel, the yud, and the chaf, and the kuf. But what's beautiful here is, what's the significance? Why do we have this? So he's saying it's all part of tzimtzum. It's that it would be too overbearing and overpowering for different things to get their chius. Some things can only get their chius through this hishtalshalos of those asar mamoros that then go through this channel of some kind of swapping or gematria or whatever it is,
and that
gives a significance for it's not just like a hocus pocus game. It's taka tzimtzum, which means it's like a covering of the or. You know, this is this because it's the same gematria. So why don't you just make the same name? Like, what's the gematria aspect? The gematria is a cover. It's a kisui. It's a hiding of the light. Uh-huh. It's a hiding of the light. Same thing with that.
Like the sun is outside, and in a dark room, you might get a little illumination through those cracks in the wall or something.
Yeah.
So that's the same sort of thing.
The gematria and the chiluf and whatever is that setting up of the wall. You know, is giving that. Yeah.
Light bounces from wall to another, one wall to another, and you get some kind of a third reflection or tenth reflection or something.
Right. You could go like that, or you could view it as, you know, different levels of mechitzas that are fracturing the ore as they come down. Uh-huh, like two plates, three plates, or whatever, and at least you want to. Okay, so this opens up. Let's see. Okay, we don't have to go further. This really opens up the story enough. Okay, so first of all, let's just think about it a bit more. What he's really saying is, you know, the same way we know that the nowadays, right, with doctors or whatever it is, the scientific world has, you know, discovered the concept of DNA.
Okay.
Right. What is the DNA? The DNA is basically, it's a code. It's a code that's defining us, that defines the person. Each person's DNA is slightly different, defining his features in a slightly different way. You know, now, the DNA of the entire world, if you want to do, if you want to use atoms, and if you want to go down to the atomic or even pre-atomic state, you know, whatever it is, but there is some kind of, right, there's a chius to the world, and that chius ultimately is really the oisius of the Torah. That's the oisius of the Torah. Now, which now means like this. Okay, so we saw, for example, the concept of gematrius and chiluf. This, like, we have some kind of understanding of that. But now let's realize that Osius have more things about them. We know a few different things about Osius, right? They, besides numerical value, they have certain shapes. They also have a sound to them. And all of that, the sound and the shape, is part of the essence of the ois. So that if the Shemayim, for example, is called Shemayim, and that's the essence, that's the DNA of Shemayim, is Shin Mem Yud Mem, that means that the DNA of Shemayim is not just Shin Mem Yud Mem, it's Shin Mem Yud Mem Mitzad, the Shin, that I call it a Shin, from the way from the name of the actual name of that letter. Like Shin is one letter, but when I say it, I'm actually saying three letters. There's a milui here. There's a Shin Yud Nun.
Yeah.
So there's a significance to that too.
Okay.
And there's a significance to its shape. And there's a significance to where it comes out of my mouth and how it comes out of my mouth. All these aspects of the letter are crucial to this chiyus as being part of the chiyus of Shemaim. And when it comes down to it, besides that, there's the Shemaim is not just the shin, but it's the shin with the komatz, which also has meaning. It's coming out of my mouth in a slightly different way, and it's not she, it's not shu, it's sha. There's a significance to that too, to the nikud. It's part of the ice. So that already is the whole concept of tanta, really, because the timing, for example, which is the tune is also, it's also part of, right? You can say the same word, for example, you can say ken, which means yes, right? Or you could say ken, which really means no, like you're doubting it. Are you sure? It can have opposite meanings, because the tune that we say something with, the tzlil, the ring of the word, also has a significance. The ring of a letter has a significance at a deeper level. So that's the tanta, that's the timim, is the tomb, right? You know, you have the gross says very nice things sometimes, the timim, different, like nice things of so you have the when we read the Torah, so we see that the letter has all these four aspects to it. The most basic most basic aspect, of course, is the ois.
Shape.
Is the letter itself, which would be the shape, the sound. I mean, it would be the sound of the letter. It's more than just the shape. It's all the aspects of the letter itself. Then you have the tanta. So you have the tagin, right? Because in the Torah we write with tagin, okay, which also is a part of the ice, but it's not. You know, but it's a higher aspect. It's like it's a thing into itself. It has its own. And we the truth is that we don't have tagin the way they used to have. We don't have the full. There was a whole different chachma to tagin, like what we have in the Torah. I mean, I'm not knowledgeable enough exactly in the whole thing. But tagin once upon a time was something more and a bit different than what we have. I don't know exactly how the development went. I mean, you see this in the Arizal, because he discusses the osius that we have tagin for and the osius that we don't. It's a somewhat. Now, but in any case, that's like another aspect of the ice. Then you have, of course, the nikudim, which is the nikudis, which is the vowels, which becomes like a part of the ice itself as well. And then you have the timim, which is even a higher level, which is not the you see the nikud. Right.
That was bugs me about. I never verbalized it.
Yeah.
But could time him. First you have to go to the letter to get the time, for you get the word. So the word, you start with a cane. If you don't have a word, but tantai, that's the, Oishis is the last thing.
Right.
I would say the Oishis is before the time him, that it's the time him should have something to latch on to.
Okay.
To modify, so, like so you just pointed out.
So actually, for the same reason, the svar of your question is the answer already.
Okay.
Why? Because we know that the thing that is the most developed and the most pronounced is the means its most physical aspect of it. So the ois is the most physical, it's the most migusham aspect of the tanta. That's why we relate to it more than anything. Because it's the easiest for us to be typhus.
Like the nigud, like yes with a positive or yes with a sarcastic sound.
Yeah, but the yes itself, the actual letters themselves, they are the most obvious to us.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Which means that they're the bechina tachtona, the last bechina. The what is it that we always see? Anything we see is really the malchus of something. Because the malchus is the gilui itself.
Oh, gotcha.
So the ois is really the most magula dika part of the tanta. So that's why it's at the end. And that's why, for us, it's the base, but we work from bottom up. We get the thing that's the easiest, and we then go higher and deeper.
Gotcha.
So the first thing we would do is, of course, teach the kid how to read the, you know, you first have to know how to read the word, because that's the basic level, and we build up from that. Okay, the same way the Ibur comes first. Ibur come, Yenika builds on, we don't start from Meichin. So that's the same reason why Tanta goes from the highest level, the Taimim is the highest level, Nekudis is after that, and Tagin, and then Noisius. Right? That's the...
I hear exactly what you're saying, but like, you said not by default, you're saying like it works by default.
No, it's not by default. It's much more than...
If you say the timing, so let's say Dargor, so your Dargor like is completely meaningless. Without a word is so.
That's right.
What do you got going for you? What do you have it latched onto? You're doing something which, when it comes to an ice, it'll modify the ice, but the time,
what you're asking is actually somewhat, I would say, the issue of the Arizal. In Eitz Chaim, in two different places, because what you're basically asking is like this. Let's talk about, take a very klali zdik of the partsuf, okay? So the partsuf, in a very general sense, is made up of a head and body. And the head we would call the gar, and the body we call the vak. You know, the gimel rishonis and the vav ktzavos.
Oh, that includes the legs also. You don't mean...
With the leg also. Legs are the netzachot. So, now, which one is greater? The gar or the vak?
The gar.
Okay. However, funny enough, the vak really comes from a higher place. According to that reason. Why? Because what's vak? Vak is really za. Za comes ultimately, really, za comes from arach, from a zivig in arach. I don't know if you've learned these drushim in the Arizal, but it comes from the ktefayim, the shoulders, whatever, of arach. And the gar comes from abba ve'ima. It's true that za has to go through abba ve'ima. Abba ve'ima act as a passageway to bring za into the world. But Zah really comes from Arach, not from Abba V'ima. Whereas the Gar of Zah comes from Abba V'ima. In other words, the lower aspect comes from the higher place.
Okay. I said the Reslava had a thing about this, right?
Like, it's this concept of Reslava. Probably Moshe told you this thing. Of Ribui Iris. The Choshech. Darkness is really the multitude of auras. It's so much aur that it becomes dark.
No, that he never told me.
that's the lashon of the Breslov, which is the same that's the concept of the black hole. The black hole has the most energy. Uh-huh. It's so much energy that there's no visible energy anymore. It's like it turns into a vacuum of it. But really, it's the most. It's just cooped up energy.
Okay.
So,
as long as you measure, what do you mean, the black hole of the Shemayim, hole in the...
In the universe, yeah.
Universe, okay.
Yeah. So, okay, where does Darizal talk about this? Darizal has, he talks about two places in... you want a drink?
No.
You can take a look over here. In Shar Yud Beis.
This will go down on the 10th.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure which is a better place to to see. I'm not sure if Yud Beis is better or to look back at Shaar Ches. So just a minute. Let me take a look here. Let's see which, for our purposes, I want to see which is clear. There's two places where the Arizal discusses this question: what is higher? What is the higher part of the greater the quality, the achorayim or the panim?
I say the panim.
The chayr would be the panim, but the Arizal shows that there's an aspect that the achorayim is greater. Okay. And he explains this. Let me see which is the.
You need more tzimtzum to get the achrayim.
Yeah, hold on one minute. Shaches, vav. Let's try Yud Beis. Let's try. I'm gonna tell you the Vart here outside first, okay? You drove stick shift, or only automatic cars?
Only automatic.
Okay. Right, stick shift, right? So you have four or five gears, six. I mean, depending on your racing car, you get more. But right, a regular car, let's say, has five gears. So the first gear, right, goes the slowest. And then when you shift into second, and then into third, and then an automatic does it automatically. But it's the same business going on. Okay. Now, what is the difference between first and fifth gear? Fifth gear, you're going 100 and whatever kilometers or miles or whatever, 70 miles an hour, whatever it is, you go. The shift and the stick shift, you're crawl in the first gear, you're crawling. But the truth of the matter is that when you're in first gear, there's more power being used than when you're in fourth gear and fifth gear.
Because friction, it gets worse than the gears in friction.
Because the gears are working harder, they have to turn more times in first gear, but once you're into fourth, fifth gear, you don't need to have so much pushing. It's like, so that it just lets it roll on its spin on its own because you already have the momentum.
It has to push more things. Okay.
Yeah, it's basically the same sort as kolas cholas kashas. You know, all beginnings are difficult. The hardest thing is to get going, but once you get going, you have a momentum that takes you along. Okay. That's like kind of the aside over here. When the Paratzuf is built, the first thing that's built is the Achorayim, meaning the Vak, the bottom part of the Paratzuf. Right? That the baby, that's the initial thing, you know, that's like the where do we see, for example, you know, for us as people, we see that as, wow, that's a miracle.
Yes, sir.
That's a miracle. A baby being born is a miracle.
Okay.
The whole thing of a baby being born is it's a miraculous kayach.
Okay.
And we see that as the Rabbeinu Shalom is doing.
Okay.
But how the baby turns into an adult doesn't look, the miracle is not as obvious. It's also a miracle, but it's not as obvious.
It's not as obvious.
Because it's not the creation of a new metzius. Mm-hmm. Creation of a new metzius. That's an unbelievable kayach. That's a god. That's an obvious godly kayach.
Okay.
So the same thing. In that sense, the achorayim, which means the vak, because in Shalom, right, that Rizal says that sometimes achorayim refers to the vak, the bottom parts of,
okay.
Bottom parts of him. In that sense, the achorayim is the greater mitzvah, is the greater level. Which is why I tap this in, and he doesn't make this connection, but that explains why Zah, the Bechin of Zah, has to come from Arich. It comes from a higher level than the Gar, which only comes from the Abavima level. Okay, so now with this, this is the background, and basically kind of a summary of what we're about to see, but let's see it inside. Okay? Hine nisbar la'el, where the aleph is. Yeah.
Oh, nisbar la'el, gotcha.
Hine nisbar la'el, ki yesh bechina shapanim me'ulim me'achorayim. There's a bechina where the panim is greater than achorayim. V'yesh bechina shachorayim me'ulim me'apanim.
But
there's a bechina of the opposite. Ki be'erich she'or ha'panim hu ha'mechabrim lachzor panim be'panim. In respect to the fact that it takes the or of the panim to join the male and female together to come to panim, yeah, to become panim upanim, nimtza ki or ha'panim gadol. In that respect, it comes out that the or of the panim is greater. U'be'erich she'or shel achorayim hem bonim kol partzif ha'ikari. But in respect that the or of the achorayim is what does the whole building of the initial partzif. Avul or aponim ain't rak lach zero aponim aponim, and all the or aponim is doing is coming afterwards to join the, you know, bring it to aponim aponim, but it's not creating a new thing, it's not doing the actual building. L'chein or achorayim godum or aponim. In that respect, the light of the achorayim is greater than the or aponim. So Arizal says, okay, so if that's the case, so which one is greater ultimately? You know, you have like this, you have like that. What? So he says, v'yinei kev sheish te bechinas. Since there are two bechinas, you have these two bechinas, elu, these two bechinas, nachriya v'nomar, so we're going to be machriya and say, ki vadayhu, certainly, kasher elu shtei bechinas, panim v'achorayim, when these two bechinas, the panim and the achorayim, boim v'yachad, they come together, az vadai she'ara panim meule. Then certainly the or of the panim is greater. The fishu ba besotosefes, because that's the extra level that's coming. Right, the extra level is the higher level. That in that respect, then certainly is a higher thing. Ale yoisle kvar ora achar, because since before it had the or achar, v'zen isra'ba mini tosef alav, and now it's got an increased or, and this is being added on top of it. Upon him, and he's bringing them back to a stage of panim upon him, turning them into a state of panim upon him. Let's just skip the next few lines because he's tying it into the sugya of sfeikus over here, which is the nice in Yud Beis. But then he says shekevon she'ena mechubarim yachad. I think I might have outlined it there.
Yeah, you highlighted.
Yeah, shekevon she'ena mechubarim yachad. But where they are not joined together, by parts of echad. If we're going to look at the vak separate and the gar separate, like two separate partsufim, vadayu she'or ha'achar gadol me'or aponim. Then certainly the or of the achar is greater than the or of the aponim. Ki im or aponim lo nitosaf ala achar. Because if the or upon him is taken on its own and not just as a bonus on top of the achar, he negarua vekatan me or achar. It is worse. It's a shvach and smaller than the achar. Lachein nishal abe ve'ima. Therefore, that stays for okay. That this has to do with the sugi over here in Attic. But in any case, you see that the concept what he's saying over here. Now, why did we get into this? Because so the same thing with the taimim and the oisius. Ultimately, what you're saying is actually the same idea. That yeah, well, but the ikur of the thing is the ois and the chanami. And in that respect, you're right. That's a higher level in a certain respect than the time of the same way. If we're going to look at them each on its own, that's exactly what you said. If you just have the tune, if you just have the darga, it's nothing. Garnished. Same thing here. If you have the gar without the vak, garnished, it's nothing. This, by the way, is the gros shita in how to deal with Kabbalah and Halacha. In other words, for example, there's the question of, I say this in the shiurim, you have a question, what do you do if you can't do all the kavanas, the kabbalistic kavanas, in time for vesikin? Okay, halacha, l'chatchila, yishadav, and every yishadav, vesikin, shachas vesikin. But you can't do the kavanas till, you're not going to get in time for sunrise. What's better? Daven lechatchila for v'sikin? Without, in kavanas pshutas, simple kavanas, without the meditations, without the rishash? Or is it better to daven later and have all the kavanas? So the Sfaradim, generally speaking, from everything I've seen, they say, Kavanas is Bainish Shemayim Bali Yosef. It builds up the heavens. The Kavanas is a very, very big thing. Better to daven a little bit later. It's still a Chatchila. It's still in Zman Tfila with the Kavanas. The Shita of the Gra, even though I don't know, he doesn't relate to this specific Shaila, but according to the Gra's Mahalach, everywhere in dealing with these things, B'pashtas, you should daven V'sikin with Kavanas Pshutos. And the Vart is, and this is the gross sheet of Ofen Klali, is that halacha is the bottom rung. It's the easiest rung. And the kavanas and all this Kabbalah stuff is the timim. It's the higher rung. But before you put that higher rung, you have to have the bottom rung in the fullest, the most mahadrindika way that the halacha has. After you build your very, very firm, beautiful foundation, add whatever you can. But the ikkar is the osius. That's the gross shita. That's the ikkar. Mm-hmm. They're right. But it's much higher level. Kavanas, okay. But you know, the osius first. You gotta have the ikkar. It's gotta be powerful. Anyway, that's. But there is a. My point is, there is an aspect where you're right that the osius is like higher in that, in a certain level. Mm-hmm. But when we take them together, the timing is the higher level. Because the timing is the that knech. Oh wait, I just got that. I just have to always check another. Alright.
Well, you got that 100 page 117 and 118.
Yeah,
you got that on the tape. That is page.
Okay, no, I didn't say. I just said the Shar Yud Beis. So what we just saw now is Shar Yud Beis Perek Dalad, page 117, the second column, okay. Continuing on to 118.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, to get just back to the Tanta again. So this is so really every single ice that we read in the Torah, whatever it is. So the ois is the, like we just spoke this whole time, is that main basic step that without it we have nothing. The tagin is also a part of the ois, but it's like on top of the ois. It's like and therefore it's a higher level. But you know what the point of the tagin is really is a beautification of the ois. It's to beautify the ice. That's really what tagin is.
I thought it was to connect it to the higher thing, like this. It comes from someplace you don't see any form.
That's Kabbalistically speaking. I'm just on a pshat level.
Okay.
Pshat level, right? Because in order to understand the Kabbalistic, we first have to understand the pshat, okay. Right? The tagin, they don't have any function, right? Okay. Nekudas and timim actually change something in the letter. The tag doesn't change the letter, it's a part of the letter, but it's a beautification of the letter.
I see.
So that's like the hiddur mitzvah, that's like, you know, it's like a bechin of hiddur. It's like
you're
a bechin
of beautification aesthetically?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a crown to it. It's like a
okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right? So that's a higher level in the sense that it's like a crown on the ice. And you're right that Kabbalistically speaking, you know, that beauty is coming from a higher, is like a higher level. It's like a shining from a higher world in that sense. Now the nikud, which is the vowels, that's already not part of the letter. Right? It's something that we kind of we put into the letter or whatever the Baruch Shalom puts into the letter, you know, that you read this, it changes the way you read that letter, you know, but that's already coming from, because it's less connected to the ice, so that's coming from even a higher level than the tag,
than the ice,
yeah, than the ice, and also than the tag. But interesting enough, right? But the nikud is still going to be it's still going to be an easier level or a lower level than the taimim. The taimim is the highest level. It's coming from the highest level. It's the most refined, if you want to say it like that. And the, you know, it's not just the sound. It's like a nuance. Nuance is a more, you know, gentle, refined thing within the reading of an ice. So those are the levels of the time. Now again, as far as for what you asked, for we started with is the point is though from with this Balatanya, we can understand the significance over here of all these things. You know, you have the Arizal takes the Aleph and he touches up the Aleph to mean Yud Vav Dalet, and sometimes Yud Vav Yud. I don't know if you've seen these places in Ariz, right? He takes the Aleph and has the line going across the middle body, whatever you want to call it, and then coming out of that you have a little thing going up and a little thing going down, and so you can look at it as a yud vav yud.
Okay.
And sometimes he says the thing going down you draw like this as a dalet. Uh-huh. Yud vav dal. Like he takes Oisius, it's not just him, the Tikkuni Zayah already does this. We take the form of an Ois and see inside of it more like smaller Oisius.
Okay.
The Hay we look at as built of a Dalid and a small Vav. What is the significance of these things? The significance is that once we understand that each Tsuros HaOis is conveying to us a packet, if you want to say, a Chavilah, a package of spirituality, a package of aura, there's what to be understood, there's what to be studied, there's a significance to every single aspect of this ice. And if this ice has a structure, in that structure we can see different types of structures, like a Yud Vav Yud and a Yud Vav Dot, there's significance to all of it. And that Rizal is being megalot, really the Zayah already, the Tikkuni Zayah is being megalot to us some parts of the significance, and then already you can understand that these things are not just like technicalities. They're really saying something, and that this is important. Why the Arizal says at the beginning of Eitz Chaim on page 28, page Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the first column. There you are. Okay, the first column. It's a quote from Shara Hakdamos. V'zeh l'shon Shara Hakdamos Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Ba'omnam.
What's
that? Yeah, top line. Top
oh,
line.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Ba'omnam davar goli hu. It's an obvious known thing. Kein l'mal guf. There's no body up above. God doesn't have a body. V'lo koach guf chalila. Not the power of a body. Chalila. V'chol ha-dimyonot v'atziurim elu, and all these different images that we speak about, lo mipnei shem kacha chas v'shalom, not because they are like that chas v'shalom. Omnam l'shachech et ha-oizen, but just in order to give us something to relate to, lech shiuchal ha-adam l'haven et varam ha-elyonim ha-ruchnim bilti nitpasim v'nirshamim b'seichel ha-noshi, to allow us some kind of insight into spiritual things that we have no tfisa in. They have no way of connecting to the human mind. Lachein nitin reshus ledaber. Therefore, it was given to us reshus by the Rebbeinu Shelayim to speak. Bebchinas tziyurim v'dimyoinim, to speak in the language of images. Kasher upashet b'chol sifri hazohar, as it is pashet in the old sifri hazohar. V'gam b'psukei ha-Torah atzma, and even in the psukim of the Torah itself. Kulam ke'echad oinim ve'oimrim b'davar hazeh, they all are saying this thing. K'mo she'amar ha-kosov, Eini Hashem heima m'shoytetim b'chol ha-oretz, Eini Hashem el tzadikim, v'yishma Hashem, all these, you know, as if God has eyes and ears, v'yorech Hashem, v'yidaber Hashem, v'keil rabot all these v'kudalim ikulam, and giving more than all these. Mashakomer kosva yivra lakim asa adam. God created man betzalmo in His image. Betzalim lakim bara oisu zochor nekeva. If the Torah atzma dibrakach, if the Torah itself speaks like that, gam anachnu nuchal adaber kolashen hazeh. Obviously, we also are able to speak in this type of a lashon. Im yosh shepashed, although it's pashed, shein sham lamala el oiris dakim betachlis aruchni is built-in it posim sham klal. Even though it's pashed that everything there is just oiris dakim, and even that language is not a real language. Not that there's like a refined light there. It's built-in it posim. There's nothing to hold on to. It's an absolutely non-physical oir. It's like the pasuk says, you didn't see any tmuna of God. There's no picture, no form of God. But there's another way besides the mashal of the body, of body parts. There's another mashal that you can use as a mashal, or that you should use as a mashal, and to be mitzayer, right, to imagine the higher things, the spiritual things. V'heim bechinas ksivas tzuras oisios. That's the bechina of the writing of the form of the letters. Ki kol ois v'ois, because each and every ois, moral or prati elyon, shows and teaches us about a detail, a specific or, a specific higher or. V'gam tmunat zu, and also this picture of the ois, davar pashadu, it's pashad ki ein lamala loy ois v'loy nekuda. Up above, there's no letter and no nekuda. It's not that the Rebbein Shlomo is made out of oisius. It's that this is a spiritual ois. What does that mean, spiritual ois? It means that the oisius down here come from, and when we speak about shin mem yud mem for shamayim, it's coming from some or that gives the letters shamayim their letters, their shape. The or is undefined. We can't, it's totally non-physical. But it's the shayrish for that, those letters shamayim, and that same shayrish is the shayrish for the shamayim, which actually develops, the heavens that actually develop. V'gamze derech mashal v'tzir, and of course this is also derech mashal and tzir l'shachiches ha'oizen kanizkar. V'lachei nevar at ha'akdama anizkar, and therefore the Rabbi Yisrael says we're going to explain the aforementioned ha'akdama al derech tzir ha'oizis gamkein. Using the derech of the form of the letters as well, or bebechinas tziurim elu, and through the bechin of these tziurim, hein tzir adam, both the tzir of the man of the limbs of a body, vehein tzir oisius, and the picture of the letters, shteyan muchrachim, they are both absolutely necessary. It is compulsory to use these both. Lahavin inyan ha'iris el yainim, in order to understand the inyan of the higher iris, kasher tira sifri hazor bnui b'shtei b'chines etziur me'ela. Like you see that the zayir is built on both of these, because there are certain things, for example, certain concepts that can only come through, we only have the ability to see them in oisius, we don't have the ability to see them in the guf, and there's certain concepts we can see them in the guf, we don't have the ability to see them in the oisius. So you need the two of them to, even though clearly, in truth, you can see everything, it is possible. Everything is found in the body, and everything is found in the Tzuras Ha'osius. But we, as human beings, don't have access to relating to everything. We need the combination of these two to get our fullest Havana. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Okay. Now, is there a possibility of continuing?